Yeah, well, that's what we're going to talk about. So just sit tight and listen to the podcast. Okay? All right, Reg, here we go. I'll give you the three S's. I'll give you the countdown. You give me the music. And I'll give you one fun podcast with our special guest, too. You have her set up? Good. All right. Three S's. Star, smile, strong. Here we go. Put it in the book. Episode 253. 253. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com. We are also found wherever you go to find your favorite podcasts. So wherever you will go, we are there. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and you will find all previous 252 episodes, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 253. And don't forget, listening to this podcast is not your only responsibility. It's your job to help spread the word. So send a link, send a message to your friends, your families, whoever listens to podcasts. Let them know that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck isn't it theirs? Your loyalty and your devotion and that extra little effort is much, much appreciated. Now, because it's a COVID time, I can't safely send you a nice little sticker or a nice little gold star. But just if you do that, know that you are getting a virtual one. I am sending it and I'm pressing it on your report card or even on the screen of your computer as a little thank you to say thanks for spreading the word. So here we are, episode 253, and for this episode, since it is International Women's Month, he pauses dramatically, I thought it'd be a good idea to get a woman's perspective on what I believe is something of a woman's issue. And while I certainly act as if I am a expert on everything, there are times when I do believe and I feel that I need a woman's perspective. And so for that reason, we go to the Pop Culture Club and we go to our regular contributor, Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
Good to hear you. Happy International Month, Women's Month. Is that, now, what's the official title? Do you know? Isn't it?
I don't know. I was just going to say thank you, but also I didn't even realize
that was the thing until you. But wait a minute! I better get another woman on.
Is that bad?
I need. Wait a minute! I need a militant feminist. What am I doing with you?
Oh, I still have opinions.
But, yeah, no, I know that. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, no. From what I understand, March is international. It's International Woman Month or something, or yeah. How I don't know what the phrase is, but it's we're celebrating women.
People could Google it.
Just Google that. Yeah. Now it's interesting. I think we go from New Year's in January, we go to Black History Month in February, and we segue right into. I don't believe. Interestingly enough, I don't believe there is a month of all 12 for the white middle-aged straight man of the month.
Well, no, because historically that was every month. So
there's my militant feminist. Yeah. I knew you were a lamb in sheep's clothing or a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
There we go. I was just waiting for that, you know.
Yeah.
That militant. So I needed to get your energy and your anger up against so you can hate men. So good job.
Right.
But so here's the thing. This has been bugging me for several months, and I've really been debating to talk about this. But if I'm going to insult or offend, I might as well do it during International Women's Month and with a woman.
Sure.
Right? So this way I check all boxes.
You can offend. I will try not to offend.
Right. Okay. But, yeah. I will try to. I am going to check all boxes here, and I'm going to try to.
I'm here to not offend.
Right. No. But I'm seriously. I need guidance. I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
As you just said earlier, you know, the state of the entire world is in this state that we're in because of the white middle-aged straight man. We have done nothing right.
This is why your privileges have been revoked.
Yes, we are revoked. Anybody born earlier than 1980 is out of touch and basically invisible.
I don't know if you're invisible yet.
Oh yeah, no. Believe me, I'm a figment at most. I'm a figment.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so here's the thing, because this has just been my observation, and that's what this podcast is all about. And as I said, I have been debating talking about this on my own for the fear of just being branded as, whoa, what are you talking about?
Right. You don't want to get canceled.
I don't want to be canceled. I've already been, I'm on probation, but I haven't been canceled yet.
Yeah.
So I've been debating it, and then I thought, well, maybe I could use a female perspective here to both enlighten me, honestly, because I just if I'm off base, I'd like to know.
Right.
Because most people in my fading influential group, they don't even look for any guidance or enlightenment. So I'm at least putting in the effort.
Yes, I mean, you get credit for that.
So I get credit for that. Now, what I'm going to say, maybe that just washes out any kind of extra points I just got, but we'll see.
Right, right.
Because I don't know. I mean, I've said this to my wife, you know, just in our discussions, and, you know, I mean, she's not going to, you know, I mean, we go back and forth, but I don't know if she's going to have the same kind of perspective or reaction since, you know, we live together, right? Because
right.
if she's that upset, she'll kick me out.
Right, exactly.
So she kind of nods. So I really don't know where she stands on my views on this. So I thought, Emily, if anyone, I consider Emily, as I said, a thoroughly modern woman, open-minded, opinionated, jokingly but not jokingly. I don't know if you're a militant feminist, but you certainly wear fatigues. In the feminine,
I don't know about militant feminists, but I don't like to take any
right. I think we've spoken about this publicly. I mean, you're in your mid 40s, so you are right in the sweet spot of the empowered woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think you are the good person to get your opinion on it, as well as help me either validate mine or enlighten me. So that's where we're going.
Right.
So here's the thing. I, you know, like everyone else, I'm out on the internet machine and I'm, you know, scouring and whatever we do now. Because you don't use the term surf anymore. You know, you don't really use that.
It's more about scrolling.
Scrolling because of the phone. Right. That's kind of, you know, yeah, that has segued
it's just
on.
The nature of the touch screen.
Right, but it used to be surfing the web.
Right.
You know, that was the phrase. You used to surf the internet superhighway. Remember that phrase? Yeah, information. That's right. I even got that wrong.
Yes.
So,
well, you have always been gunning it down the information.
I've had my pedal to the metal.
Right.
So I'm going on different, you know, kind of Google sites and Yahoo sites and just looking at the news. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't relatively a new phenomenon, but it has certainly, to me, gained steam. It used to be every so often you'd see this, but now it seems to be a permanent part of the culture. So here we go. Strap in.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm not even going to phrase it the way I wanted to, with indignation, with a hard phrased rhetorical question. I'm just going to ask you as a normal question. Do you notice? Is it just me, Or do you notice that many, especially celebrity women, in their late 40s, but certainly in their 50s, I would say in the last year, and I don't know if it's COVID related or not, and that's an issue that we could discuss in this bigger issue, but on the internet, I have noticed, especially women in their 50s, for some reason, on almost a daily basis now, I am seeing women in their 50s either naked or practically naked or in their underwear that is so skimpy they might as well be naked. Now,
okay.
I have noticed this. I have been seeing people like Salma Hayek wearing these, and she's very voluptuous. That's a good word, right? I could use that word, right? And I'm not being offensive.
I don't think it's offensive.
Could I say curvy?
I mean, I could be wrong. I could be out of touch. So,
well, what about curvy? Could I say curvy?
Sure, I think so.
I mean, Salma Hayek is curvy. And she's been wearing and she's in very good shape. I think she's in her.
She's got an amazing body.
Yeah, she's like 52, 53 years old. But she has been parading around in these skimpy bikinis, posting shots. Elizabeth Hurley, I believe, is 54 or 55. She has been even the creepier part of this, she has her son taking pictures of her in various modes of undress or bikinis in seductive poses. Jennifer Lopez of late she just turned 50. She's been wearing skimpy things. But a Melanie Griffith, who's in her 60s, has been in either lingerie or bikinis or bra and panties. I guess for years I always said I don't see give me some insight on this, Emily. A bikini is no different than a bra and panties, right? Visually.
Silhouette-wise, it's the same silhouette.
But for a woman, it seems like it is a major difference.
Well, sure, because you would go to the beach and be in a bikini, but I wouldn't just like walk outside in my
But why? But they're the same thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as like,
you're
not necessarily wear a shirt, but you wouldn't just show up at like a party at your friend's house with no shirt.
No, I know. But I mean, if you wear a bikini top, it's the same as a bra, right?
It's the same silhouette. I would say that.
But I mean, why do you think I would think a bikini top is even more revealing than a bra?
Well, it could be in some cases. I mean, I don't really know. It's hard for me to explain why as a society we've made this distinction, but it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
It's accepted. It's acceptable to be in public in an appropriate setting, right? Like I wouldn't just walk into the grocery store.
No. I'm just saying if you're going to the, but my point is, if you see a woman, she's wearing a bikini, like in a picture, but then it's like, whoa, my bra strap is showing. Ah,
well, right. Yes, exactly.
It's an odd dynamic that it's the same kind of clothing. It is performing the same function.
Right.
Yet one, we have no problems parading around publicly. Another one, we guard like Fort Knox.
Well, I guess it's like a deeply ingrained.
Yeah, it's just a
thing.
So anyway, yeah. So there's been a mix of either, revealing very skimpy bikinis or not even that, the next layer of this taboo of their underwear. But they're mostly women in their 50s. And as I said, Melanie Griffin, some other, even in their early 60s, who are just posting, they're taking these pictures themselves or they're having someone else. Like I said, in Elizabeth Hurley's case, family members, they're like 20-year-old son, which is, like I said, a little creepy. So every day now when I go online, there's someone else, showing off the goods. And I'm just wondering, I know it started, you know, with teenagers and younger women and sending this to their boyfriends and sending selfies. And then the younger actresses were doing it with the mirror and doing this. And because we are now in a very selfie narcissistic society. And so that was seemed to be a natural progression. Any technology basically becomes popular because we somehow add pornography to it.
Oh.
And that, no,
well, that's okay.
That, you know, that sounds crazy, but that's what made the VHS tape. It wasn't old copies of Casablanca as to why VHS became popular. It became popular because people did not have to go to an X-rated movie house anymore. They could watch porn on VHS.
See, I always thought it became popular so that I could still watch my favorite show, but go out so I could put my little blank tape in the.
Oh, corner. You know what? You're adorable.
Go out with my friends.
You're adorable. You're so naive and so adorable.
And Sex in the City is still, so I don't miss it that week. Right?
Yeah, no, you're adorable. No.
DVR.
No, that's adorable. That's adorable.
Well, I hear what you're saying about technology, but I think what I observe, if I think I know what you're talking about, and I don't know you. So I think.
Do you notice this, or am I just?
No, you're not. I do. And I have to say, like, I attribute a lot of this to the rise of Instagram in particular, because Instagram is all about photos, and Instagram is all about an image. You know, it's different than Facebook and other social media platforms in that sense. It's also become a huge platform for people to build a brand that kind of is just a brand it's like a brand that's not even for anything but being an Instagram influencer. Okay. So I think that's part of it. Now, the interesting thing to me is that you have picked up on this because I'm on Instagram.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I have an Instagram account, but I'm never on it.
Isn't Elton Jim really on Instagram? You have an Instagram account. I'm amazed.
I do. I had to have one because I wanted to go on to follow people, so I had to open one. But I've never posted on it.
Yeah, and so the thing is, like, and it's been around for a while now. But I've actually recently been amazed that it just continues to grow in popularity, such that, like, now, so you have two things happening. You have one. People who really actively obscure normal everyday people who, for whatever reason, maybe they have a great fashion sense. Maybe they could be a model if they had the right connections, but they just don't quite know how to break into that field in the traditional way. Whatever it may be, they are actually building brands and building a presence and becoming influencers on Instagram. Then you also have the stream of celebrities who use Instagram as a way to promote, you know, their projects. And now, let's face it, like, a lot of Hollywood celebrities are not, their main thing isn't even acting anymore, right? They like out. They all have lifestyle brands, you know, they've got wellness lines and clothing lines and all that stuff. And so even people like really, really big A-list celebrities who really aren't into social media and haven't been for a long time, for the whole time this has been a phenomenon, are now joining Instagram. And you know, so I'm talking about like Julia Roberts and Jennifer Aniston. And it's like, I don't even think they have interest. I think they have people who are saying to them, you have to do this because this is just part of.
I understand that. And I think you're right. I never thought about that because, like I said, I'm not really an Instagram person. So I never really thought about the Instagram as to where this initially started. You know, like the photo, you know, because like you said, Instagram was the reaction to Facebook in that, okay, Facebook is there, but Instagram is based on photos rather than on information, where Facebook seemed more, and people post obviously photos on Facebook now, but initially Facebook was more, you know, informationally based. And so Instagram was looking for a new niche, you know, to feed once again into our narcissism and have pictures and, you know, and feed into people.
Facebook originally, I mean, Facebook's so different now than when it started, but originally it was about connecting with your already existing
friends.
World of friends and colleagues and whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was like a real thing. It was like people started out sharing like just what was on their mind or what they were doing today. Now it is more about videos and photos, but not in the same way as Instagram. Like Instagram is, let's put it this way. People who are famous or not even famous, are making a ton of money off of Instagram because it's another way to do endorsements. Brands are also recognizing that some of these kind of quote unquote influencers have a big following, and it's another
channel
for them to reach an audience.
No, and I understand that. And that's a good point in terms of how this started. But what I want to get into is why is it that women in their late 40s, 50s, or 60s, why are they turning to Instagram or wherever in their underwear or naked? What is going on here?
See, I think again, like, you have to really be on Instagram to see this. I think that it's actually women of all ages who are doing it. But what you're seeing is what gets picked up in the media. So when like a Halle Berry,
Halle Berry has been running around now for the last 6 months or almost the last year. It seems ever since the quarantine started, she has been running around either naked or practically naked on a weekly basis.
Well, I mean, and quite frankly, you know, I mean, Halle Berry has an amazing body. She should probably just run around, you know, in her swimsuit all the time.
Well, okay, but here's my point. But my point is, when Halle Berry, I mean, and maybe she's not the best example because she did, you know, she won the Oscar for, you know, what was that movie called? What was it called?
Monster's Ball.
Monster's Ball. Yeah. You know, and she was naked in that, and there was a very, you know, suggestive sex.
But
my point is, what I'm saying is, a lot of these women who are posing in almost naked now or in their underwear or in these bikinis, these suggestive things, when they were in their primes, and I'm not trying to sound sexist here, but when they were in their when they were in their prime in terms of their careers, when they were the number one models or the number one movie people, they guarded their sexuality to some extent and certainly their nudity with great care. To make sure, you know, they talk down about Playboy. Oh, I would never do Playboy. And oh, that's pornography. And, you know, and if they did something that was suggestive, it was so supposedly done tastefully. Well, now they're doing stuff in their backyard.
Right. Well, okay. So this is the thing. So first of all, I think you're seeing this certain age group or demographic of women because it gets picked up by the media, because these are actually well-established, famous women. And so, you know, if Gwyneth Paltrow poses nude in her backyard and posts it on Instagram,
which she did,
gonna get picked
do you
up
know that?
She did.
Yeah, but her daughter took the picture.
Yes. And I agree with you that something has shifted, because those of us who were, you know, old enough to remember, I don't know, was it 20-ish years ago when Gwyneth Paltrow was dating Brad Pitt? And they were on vacation together. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
Some paparazzi took photos of them in very private situations on their balcony of their whatever vacation condo they were staying in. And those were published in, I can't remember which magazine it was, but it was one of the, like, it could have been Penthouse, something like that. And they sued, you know, because now that wasn't an invasion of their privacy. They didn't choose for that moment to be captured, right? I understand that, you know, and if Gwyneth Paltrow wants to do this on her own terms, you know, hey, more power to her. But I agree with you that you're right, that I feel that, you know, 20 years ago, celebrities in general guarded their privacy more. Now we can't get Gwyneth Paltrow to stop telling us stuff that we don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to know about. I don't want to know that Gwyneth Paltrow's candle smells like something.
Well, okay, but see,
if you know what I mean,
the whole thing that I do
her nether regions.
Yes, but this is the whole thing, which is you have to realize all of this. You can draw a direct line back to the lifestyle brand that she is trying to build and publicize and make money off of. And that's her right. You know, she built this business from her kitchen table. And from what I understand now, you know, it's.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that all of these things are, we know this because we've been behind the scenes of stuff like this. These are not just like, spur of the moment, I think I'll just go take this picture because the lighting's great and I'm feeling great today. This is all calculated. It's for publicity. it helps build the brand. It helps support the brand. And so I think that that is a lot of why we're seeing.
We're
willing to do things that they wouldn't have necessarily been willing
okay,
to
well,
do.
Okay, well, then I get that. Okay, that's a valid point. But here's the thing, I guess, that is very conflicting for me. Mm-hmm. What I've been seeing, and like to your point, it's not just, I mean, I'm initially talking about some of the middle-aged or even older women who, for whatever reason, maybe they're working out, and so they want to show off, right? We're also in mm-hmm. a COVID world where there's no more red carpets. Mm-hmm. They're not able to get that adulation or that attention from the outside world because there's no events that they're going to. So they're doing it themselves. So once again, maybe it's tied once again to this the narcissism aspect of an actress or an actor. That's why they get in it. Look at me. We're in a look at me kind of society. Obviously, to your point, if I'm a well-known celebrity and I'm near naked as opposed to just wearing sweats and a t-shirt, I'm not going to go viral. It's not going to get picked up by a search engine or something like that. But to your point, if Julia Roberts or Kate Moss or Jennifer Aniston or Cindy Crawford or someone like that all of a sudden is in some skimpy outfit that's showing off more than they've ever shown, we're going to see it. But what I also find interesting, now this is what I want from your perspective of your militant feminist side.
Okay.
I've also noticed, to your point, a lot of younger women also doing this. Recently, Miley Cyrus was on the cover of Rolling Stone and inside Rolling Stone, right? And the whole picture shoot, the cover as well as the inside photos, were very revealing, very sexually oriented. And in one shot, she was completely topless, right? She had she had a shirt on, but she opened it up, to reveal her breasts. They were on display. There was no hidden, nothing. It was just there. She had this, rebellious look on her face. You know what I mean? But it was no different than a photo in Playboy. And my first thing was, when I look at this picture, I'm like, Rolling Stone is becoming Playboy. The next issue, and I don't even know her name. Now, what's this new singer? Dupa Lupa or something? Oompa Loompa? Oompa Loompa?
Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa. So the next issue, after I go through the Miley Cyrus issue, looking for anything about music in Rolling Stone, I'm just looking at Miley Cyrus like on a bed with her legs spread or with her breasts completely revealed. Then Lupa Dupa comes up. Then she's on the next cover, and she's got a bikini or underwear. I can't tell the difference anymore because they're not much different.
I can't explain the difference to you. Yeah.
And then I look inside.
We know that.
Yeah. Well, you know that, but we don't. And then on the outside, and then the inside, once again, there's pictures of her. Might as well be her bare butt.
Bleep. Do we need the bleep button?
No, her bare butt might as well. I mean, it's all there, there's no, it's not even hidden. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell is going on? So here we got two women now. So here's my question. We are in a time, no question, over the last 10 years at least, of a growing to the point where now it is in full gear, female empowerment, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what I keep hearing from young women as well as older women now that are doing these suggestive things is that they are owning their sexuality rather than selling it. Right. So in the perspective seems to me that in from Playboy from the 50s on, that was viewed as, well, women are degrading themselves by posing naked. Right. They were getting paid for it. And
there was a time, though, maybe when I was growing up where Playboy sort of became a little more mainstream. It didn't seem as scandalous as other.
Oh, certainly, because then other magazines went further, Penthouse.
And as we all know, because they had really good interviews.
Yeah, and that's the sad part. They really did. The Playboy interview.
I agree. That's why I only say it with a hint of irony, because that was always kind of the, oh, sure, yeah, the articles are really good. But they, it was legitimately good.
It really were. They really were. I mean, look, when I was in my 20s, I had a subscription to Playboy. And I'm not saying I didn't look at the pictures, but I did read the Playboy interview. Was a centerpiece of that mag. There was a centerfold, but the Playboy interview always had intriguing people and interesting interviews, and it always made news. It really was an interesting, especially in that time of magazine journalism. But regardless of that, my point is, it seems that Playboy was viewed as, well, that's exploitation, and now women are posing nude, or practically nude, or in their once forbidden underwear to seen in public. And somehow now it's shifted that, well, this is empowering. I've seen Lizzo. You know, yeah. The big thing now is for plus size women to just say,
okay.
You know, no, but my point is, but you didn't see that before. But now the thing is, hey, if you're plus size, so what? You go, girl. You know, so they're in their underwear. Yeah. And everybody's in their underwear. Everybody just is in their underwear, but it's under this guise of being empowering. So here's what I need to either express to you or get your as a female's impression. And if a guy doesn't say this, I don't think I'm being sexist here or misogynist, and I don't think that I'm being over the line here. If a guy is honest. And I'm honest. If you're going to be honest, when you look at a photo of Miley Cyrus or of Salma Hayek or Halle Berry or Elle McPherson, who just recently was nude online, or whoever it is, whether they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s, or 60s, I have to tell you, if you think you're owning your sexuality or that you're not exploiting or that you're empowering yourself, I think when a guy looks at the picture, he's looking at these pictures today the same way he looked at the Playboy pictures in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. So I think that women, the implication is that we are desexualizing the female body or the female image in this era of empowerment. But what I have to tell you is, maybe amongst women you think you are, but amongst men, I'm still looking at those pictures for the same reason. So it seems like it's defeating the purpose. You're saying that we don't want to be viewed as sex objects, and then all I'm doing every day now is seeing women in their underwear.
Right.
I mean, why can't you? Why don't? If you're going to empower women, why is it that you're taking your clothes off to empower yourself? You know, do something else that does. Why is it always you're saying you don't want to be sex objects, but then you're empowering yourself by being sexy?
Well, I...
Now, am I crazy or not?
Saying, are you crazy? No, I don't think you're crazy. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I guess my view is, for starters, from a personal standpoint, it's not for me. You know,
I can't go on right now and hit on Google Emily Arminetti and find you with a selfie in your bathroom?
No. And it's not for me. That's just not for me. Like it wouldn't have been 20 years ago, and it's not now. You know, that's it. That said, I think that anyone, male or female, no matter what age they are, no matter what shape they are, you know, I think if this is what you want to do, if you're saying, yeah, I feel great in my skin, and so I'm going to post this picture because I like the lighting or I like how I look or whatever, then you know what? Go for it.
Don't you think that men are looking at you as a sex object?
Well, I have to take your word for it because you're a man. But what I do think is, I don't think Miley Cyrus cares when she posts a picture. I don't think she cares how men are looking at it. I truly, truly don't. I don't think Dua Lipa does either. You know, I think they're like they're.
But they know what they're doing. You don't think that they're being. I mean, they're in provocative poses. They certainly are. They're in titillating poses. And yet, for some reason, this is viewed like, well, no, that's her being empowered. And I'm like, no, that's her being a sex kitten, the same way Marilyn Monroe was.
But so, but there was nothing wrong with Marilyn Monroe either. I mean,
no, but she was, but she's looked down as, oh, she was, but she's looked down at, like, oh, she was a sex kitten.
She was back then, but I think today her legacy is different. And I think, and that's the thing, maybe, I think women today have a different view of how this all works. And so if Miley Cyrus feels like she's owning herself and her image and, you know, celebrating herself by posting a picture, then that's what she believes she's doing, you know? And it may be that all the men out there are still looking at it in a certain way. But, you know, I don't think that changes, like, how she feels about it. I mean, what I do think people should really think about, especially younger people, you know, I think when we're kind of women my age in our 40s and, you know, 50s and 60s, like we kind of have a sense of, you know, down the road, might you feel differently about this? I mean, it's the same thing as getting, let's say, a tattoo, for example. You know, I have friends who got tattoos when they were 18 and love tattoos and have now multiple tattoos. I also have friends who got tattoos when they were really young and wish they didn't do it, right? The thing about posting stuff on the internet, as we know, is that it lives forever, right? Even if you delete something, it's never really totally gone.
Right.
And so the one thing I think people do have to think about when they're posting is, like, if I feel this way about this today, am I still going to feel the same about it 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or will I feel differently about it? Or will I feel differently about it when I'm, you know, when I have children of my own or whatever? And it's kind of the same thing, I suppose, like, maybe some celebrities went through decades ago when they did pose for things like Playboy. And then at the time they were young, they were single, they didn't have a family yet. And then you sort of change and you're, you know, like, and you view things in a slightly different way when you're looking at it through maybe your kids' eyes. But that being said, equally, I would say, again, a lot of these women, that doesn't bother them. They're happy to show their kids, like, this is a positive, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, I think about like, say, Farrah Fawcett. Okay. So now in the 70s, you know, she's on Charlie's Angels and she had the famous poster, which revolutionized the poster industry. It was revealing and yet it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. But, I know exactly.
Yeah. You know, it was a little chilly that day. But, you know, but then like 20 years later or 30 years later, when she was in her 50s, she posed for Playboy like three times in. Completely, you know, without any, I mean, there was nothing left to the imagination. This wasn't strategically lit or shadowed or anything. This was, hey, here it is. You know, this is what, you remember what you were wondering about when I was in my 20s? Well, here it is. You know, and now what sparked this to me was about a couple of months ago, Dolly Parton is 75 or 76. And to your point about, you know, branding or about, just media attention, there was a story, whether it's going to happen or not, Playboy apparently, because, you know, Playboy now is not even a magazine on the newsstand anymore. It's just virtual.
It's just online. Yeah,
it's like an online
magazines now.
Yeah. But they are apparently, whether this is true or not, it certainly made news. I don't know whether it was ever confirmed, but they offered Dolly Parton to pose for Playboy. Now she's 75 years old.
Yeah.
So my question is, back in the late 70s, early 80s, when she started to really become more of a mass, you know, with 9 to 5 and in the late 70s and early 80s, she was on the cover of Playboy, but she was just wearing a bustier and she wasn't naked or anything. But now at 75, we're going to have a 75-year-old Dolly Parton in Playboy? I mean,
is she going to do it?
I don't know, but even the fact that she was offered it and that she's considering it is interesting to me. Well, this goes back to my point. When she was 32 and she was in the prime of her career in terms of her popularity and her figure, she didn't want to do it.
Well, I'll say this about Dolly. Okay. First of all, Dolly Parton can do whatever she wants because.
See, and this is what I love. How did Dolly Parton become. Where did Dolly Parton who become this major, like, feminist icon when for years all that was talked about her and all that she exploited were her breasts? When did she?
Because I don't think she ever exploited herself. I think that was it. I don't think she exploited herself.
She never stopped the talk about the breast jokes.
Well.
She benefited from it.
I don't think she has to talk about them. Well, listen, she benefited from her talent too, though.
Because certainly, but that was an aspect of her. You talked about brand and persona. Yeah, okay, it was 9 to 5 and Jolene, but it was also big breasts.
Well, I don't think of Dolly Parton that way, and I think of Dolly Parton like she's not even just a great like feminist, you know. Icon. She is just a great humanitarian icon. I mean, she's like, first of all, I think people did realize over time that she actually was a lot more talented than we really gave her credit for. I think people started to become more aware of a lot of the songwriting work she would do behind the scenes that other people would record that became huge.
Oh, like the Whitney Houston. Nobody knew that Dolly Parton wrote, I Will Always Love You. Yeah. No one knew that.
One of Whitney Houston's biggest hits, right?
Biggest.
I think that now we sort of know a lot more about her and her talent, but also she's always conducted herself in a way that I think is, you know, she has a reputation for being very kind and for just being a really good humanitarian. And, you know, I don't know what she's going to do about this offer. But I'm going to guess. So she was recently, I believe in her hometown, they wanted to, they had like a, I don't know how they have to do it there, but I don't know if it was a bill or something. They were basically trying to pass something so that they could erect a statue of her in front of like, you know, City Hall. And she like politely declined that because she's just too humble. She just felt like, I don't really. Maybe if you want to do something like that after I'm gone, that's great. But I don't feel like I've got more life to live and I don't feel like I've earned that kind of, you know, recognition. And so I'm guessing if she turned down the statue, she's probably going to turn
but
down
here's,
Playboy.
But
I would also say that even more recently, Dolly Parton can do whatever she wants because she has been working to try to get us out of COVID. And I think anybody who's doing that.
But my point is, why do we, I'm not trying to sound sexist here. What is a 75-year-old woman posing naked in a magazine? What does that accomplish?
Well, I don't know. I'm not.
My point is, what does that accomplish from a feminist viewpoint? Is that empowering? Do you view that as empowering?
I don't view it in any. Like I said, I think anyone who wants to do that, at male or female, regardless of what age they are, like, hey, more power to you. You know, if it empowers that person, then I think it's
okay. But I'm here to tell you then if that's empowering you, that's great. But the other side of the coin is you need to know that if you're Elizabeth Hurley and you're 54 and her body looks fantastic. You need to know if you're feeling empowered by this, that's fantastic for you. But just know that men are looking at this not as some great you go girl, positive girl power message. They're looking at you as a sex symbol. And to me, that now denigrates the female movement because once again, you are putting sexuality as a major reason for your prominence or your power. The whole idea, I would think, behind the feminist movement is to prop up our interest, our intelligence, our management skills, our ability to our equality. I would think that up to this point in human history, not just the last 40 years or 20 years, in human history, the woman's the woman's sexual and sex object persona of any woman has been propelled and exploited enough. So if you want to change the dynamic, to me, why would you continue to use sexuality as one of those tools? Or is sexuality just a bigger part of the whole female thing? And they're saying, well, we're not, you know, it's not my fault that you look at me sexually, which is an argument I've heard.
I don't think it's that. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's not my fault if you look at me that way. I just don't think they care. I don't think they care how men look, how men react to that picture. And I think that's the point.
Because I mean, like, for instance, now, so tell me the motivation. I mean, just your opinion on this, the motivation of this. So I don't know if you've noticed, but the actress from Mad Men, January Jones, right?
Yes.
Did you see this? What I'm going to say? Do you know what I'm going to talk about?
No, I have no idea.
So, you know, there was I can't remember if it was I think it may have been the Golden Globes was recently. So she went online. Once again, everybody just runs online, Instagram, wherever it is. They can't wait. And especially it's these actresses who, as I said, I don't know if this is their narcissism, if they're not getting the attention that they're usually getting, that they need to just show it out there. But now she pulled out a dress that she wore 10 years ago at some awards thing.
Oh, I do know. Yes, I did read
that. And now she wore it again to say, well, look at me. Now I'm 42 and I'm wearing the same dress. And she made a point to say, well, it doesn't look the same on me, but I'm still wearing it. Now, the fact of the matter was she was falling out of this thing. Mm-hmm. It did not look good. But in the feminist world, it seemed like, well, good for you. And I'm like, but wait a minute. What you now you're even, if I liked January Jones when she was on Mad Men 10 years ago, now I'm seeing her falling out of her dress. I'm looking at her from a sexual standpoint. I'm not going, oh, good for you. You got into your size 7 or your size 4, whatever the dress. You know what I mean? That's not so.
Yes, but that's what I'm trying to tell you, is that January Jones doesn't care that you're looking at her that way, because to her, the main thing is, I'm really proud of myself because I can fit in the same dress that I was in 10 years ago.
But she's barely fitting in it.
Despite the fact that she's had a child and despite the fact that she's aged, she is that. And that's my point. She doesn't care if you're looking at it that way. She views this as, this is a proud moment for me. And so I'm going to, but now part of that has, I mean, I don't see the, personally, I don't see the value in posting a picture like that, just because I feel like that seems just like it's a boredom thing, because we're stuck at home during COVID. There's no red carpet to go to.
Right.
Let's see what happens if I try on my old dress. Fine. Great. But I just don't think it takes away anything. I don't think it.
I mean, there was.
Also, by the way, you also have to realize, like, motivations are different for all these things, right? I truly believe that January Jones's motivation for that was, I'm really happy that I can still get into this dress and zip it up, so I'm going to do this. Okay. Miley Cyrus is a different story. I mean, Miley Cyrus has not been shy about this ever since she transitioned from her Hannah Montana earlier days of her career, which were very, very wholesome. And she completely reinvented herself. And maybe it's not even reinvented herself. Maybe she's now just being authentically who she always was.
Well, she's a woman now. She was a teenage girl when she was on Hannah Montana.
But she also is, I mean, she is provocative. And I don't think, she is a provocateur. And I don't think she would even deny that there are some things that she does because she doesn't mind getting people talking. You know, that's her probably part of her motivation, if I were to speculate. Then Gwyneth Paltrow, like I said, is like a whole other motivation because, again, Gwyneth Paltrow could care less if you're looking at a picture of her posing in her backyard with no clothes on, because at the end of the day, she's still running a $250 million business. So she could care less if some guys are ogling her.
That's interesting, though. So in other words, you don't think that if I'm ogling her, so you, what you're saying is she doesn't care because isn't she exploiting herself then, which is gets to the heart of the feminist movement, that you're saying, hey, as long as she's making $200 million, she doesn't care whether you look at her sexually or not. But I think that goes against.
Well, no, it's not that I don't want to be that cynical to say as long as she's making that. What I'm saying is she is the CEO of a $250 million company. So I don't think that anyone telling her, oh, by the way.
But we don't see Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos are the CEO. We don't see them posing naked or in briefs.
No, but this is my point.
Why are you, if you want the equality, if you don't want to be viewed as just a sex object, then why are you being a sex object?
But that's what I'm saying is Gwyneth Paltrow can do that and still have the equality of being the CEO of a $200 million.
But I don't. But you know what? But
that's the thing.
Okay, that's fine, because the people that are buying that mostly are women, so that's fine. But you need, but at least it seems to me that the contradictory thing here is that there is this perception that somehow, as I said earlier at the beginning, that they're owning their sexuality and they're not exploiting it. And I guess my point is, I just need to, if I don't know if this is a great awakening or this is some kind of outrageous comment, but you need to know, and I'm not going to speak for all men, but I'm going to tell you, there's a good percentage of men, let's just put it that way, who are looking at you not as the CEO of Goop, but as a naked star who I always wanted to see naked. That's the way they're not looking at you as some feminist icon or some or they're looking at you as, you know what, I always wondered what she looked like naked and I finally got to see it. And that's what and I'm thinking and all my sexual thoughts and viewing her as a sex object, they're right there. It's not about owning it, it's not about empowerment.
I have no doubt that you are right about
that. I really want you tonight to ask your husband, if it's not too embarrassing, I would like you to ask your husband about this subject.
Oh, are you kidding? He does not follow any of this stuff. He'll be like, wait, what? Naked on the internet? What? I'm just kidding. I don't know what he'd think about it, but if I were to venture a guess, I think he would. I actually think he would say, like I said, my view here is, you know, if anyone who does this feels like they're owning their image and feels like, you know, like they're empowered, then they are.
Well,
how they feel, then they are. And I think if I explained it to him that that's how I see it, I think he would be like, okay, fair enough.
Okay, well, here's another one. So now over the last, I would say, 30 years, well, 40, now the 80s, sadly, how scary is it to think that the 80s were now 40 years ago?
I mean, don't even tell me that.
Isn't that scary? So,
yes.
But so now, for the last 40 years, definitely, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue has been kind of this pop culture iconic thing, right? And many future models or future stars got their start by posing in it. Yeah. It was initially sold as kind of a soft pornographic thing. They were able to justify it to say, well, you know, they're in bathing suits and it's sports related. I mean, it was a stretch. Ultimately, what it was the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue used to come out in February or March when there was kind of a downtime in sports.
Yeah.
it was after the Super Bowl.
It was kind of a gimmick.
Yeah, right? It was a total gimmick. It was after the Super Bowl and before baseball. There was nothing going on really in sports. Now there's a lot more sports and a lot more coverage. But back in the 80s, you only had, you know, the world was much different. It didn't have this exposure to so many sporting events. So it was a gimmick to say, how can we get guys to keep buying our magazine during the downtime of sports, which was, as I said, this little window between February and April. Mm-hmm. So they came up with this gimmick, Sports Illustrated swimsuits. It was a stretch, but you had Cheryl Teagues. You had a lot of well-known models. Then it became actresses. So here we are now in 2021, and it seems this, once again, in this time of empowerment, what I find interesting now is that this was clearly an exploitative gimmick. at its heart. And 40 years ago, that word didn't even exist, really, exploitative. That was just the way of the world. And once again, it's very hard to put today's standards in the past because times have changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. However, so now what I find interesting is now Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit issue, is now becoming some kind of a feminist. It started out as an exploitative thing to get guys to buy the magazine, to look at women, sexy women in very revealing or almost half-nude poses on beaches, right? That's what it was. That's pure and simple. Now, the current issue has a 57-year-old woman as the main model. They also have, as it's described here, so this is not my terminology, the first curvy Asian model.
Is described what? By the Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, the first curvy Asian. Mm-hmm. And there's talk that there may be a Down syndrome model sometime in the now, so what I find interesting is that the that now in this era of inclusion, in this era of, to your point, if you want to do it, you go, girl. If you don't feel, you know, you want to empower yourself. But now this one-time, very exploitive thing is being used as a forum for inclusion. Like, hey, you know, just because you're over 40 doesn't mean you're dead sexually, or you can still be a sex object after you're 50. Or if you're heavy, you know, you don't have to just be 98 pounds. You can be 190 pounds and still look good in a swimsuit. That's the new viewpoint. And now
I think it's cynical to think that Sports Illustrated is being inclusive for the sake of, for like a gimmick's sake. I would like to hope, and I've been saying this for a long time because we've talked about it with a lot of the awards analysis that we've done. And so, you know, I believe that all of this media needs to start better reflecting the society we live in. And I think people everywhere everyone needs to be represented, right? And so I think if Sports Illustrated is now making an effort to be inclusive, then that's a good thing. I think they should do that. I hope it's not a gimmick.
I'm calling it because it started as a gimmick.
The magazine itself started as a gimmick, but I hope that their push for inclusivity is genuine. And I think that because I think I've been a huge advocate for all media sort of, you know, making sure that everyone's represented. And so, you know, it's the same thing in film. It's the same thing on television. And it should be the same thing in magazines, I think.
But it gets back to my point.
Those channels should reflect the actual world we live in.
But it gets back to my point of, if you're showing me a 57-year-old, and I've seen the pictures, there's her online, 57-year-old model. She looks she's wearing bikini. She looks she's in great shape. She's in seductive, you know, suggestive poses. I've seen the curvy Asian, as she is being described, once again, strutting her stuff like, hey, this is me. That's fine. So just know that while you may be feeling empowered, I believe there's a good portion of the population who is not looking at that in any other way than they used to look at Playboy in the 60s and 70s as a sex object. And here's the one that really has gotten me, that really sort of sparked this. I don't know if you've seen this. So in the last year, the lead singer from the Cars, Rick Ocasek, died, right?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
And he was married to beautiful model Polina Poroskova. And he met her on the set. She was one of the world's most beautiful women. She was one of the most in-demand models. She was in one of the videos for the Cars in the mid-80s. They met
in a number of their...
But my point is, because then they were going out, and then she became, you know, a regular staple. But they first met, you know, they just hired her as one of the models.
Yes.
And yes, right. I think it was For You Might Think was the first one. Mm-hmm. And so they got married, and they've been married for 30 some years. And then apparently over the last three or four or five years, they got separated and they were divorced. And apparently, while they were amicable, when it turns out that Rick Ocasek kept her out of her will, out of his will.
Yeah.
And she didn't get anything, even though from the reports, she was with him the day he died. They still, you know, they had kids together. They were co-parenting.
But I think they were still living together.
Yeah, they were kind of living together because I think he was sick for a while and she was kind of taking care of him.
Yeah.
You know, but he did write her out of his will. Now, she's about 55, 56 years old, and she's still attractive. No question about that. I mean, she's a former model. Mm-hmm. Over the last year, she can't keep her clothes on. She is constantly on the internet, either naked with strategically covering her, you know, her privates with her hands, or standing behind a, you know, a well-placed vase, or she's in a bikini or underwear. Once again, you know the difference. I don't. That is basically see-through, so there's nothing left to the imagination. And it seems to me, While some people are praising her for, you know, you go girl, it seems very desperate to me. It's almost as if, you know, I'm this former model that everybody used to gush over, and now it feels like she's trolling for a rich husband.
Well,
like, here's the goods. Come and get me.
I haven't seen any of the photos of her. I've read some of the coverage about what happened in the aftermath.
Well, Google Paula Pereskova and look at some of the pictures, and you tell me if she's
honestly, again, we live in a different world now, and Instagram is a very powerful tool that people use, a publicity tool. It could be that she's trying to relaunch her modeling career because she needs to, you know, and there's no reason why a woman at any age can't be a model, because again,
we all
need to come around to the fact that people like to see themselves reflected in media. And although she is, you know, she is a white woman, she's like, we see those images everywhere. You know, it may be that a 57-year-old woman I can speak for myself. I want to see women my age reflected in things. I mean, I don't look at a 22-year-old in, you know, a certain fashion layout and necessarily identify with that. But if there were a woman my age featured, then I could see like, oh, I like that outfit. I could see myself in that. Or, oh, that makeup looks amazing. Like, maybe I should check that out. You know, this is how they sell things, right? But I think people are trying to, like, society is realizing that everyone would like to see themselves reflected in the media that we are consuming constantly, right? So if she wants, and maybe, I don't know if that's why she's doing it. Maybe you're right. Maybe she's just kind of putting herself out there. Who knows? But she could also just legitimately be trying to relaunch her career. And honestly, that is kind of how things are done these days.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no, and there's no question that lately over the last 2 weeks or so, I've been seeing Eva Longoria from Desperate Housewives. You know, the headline is Eva Longoria with her fierce abs. You know, so clearly she's now, once again, our whole idea of fitness, our whole idea of sexuality has changed. A woman of 50, 30 years ago was invisible, right? In terms of the pop culture, you know. But now,
I think you can ask a number of women in Hollywood that question, and I'm sure they would tell you.
Yeah. So I think that's really great. I believe that's true, and I think it's great that we're hopefully breaking that image. And there is no question that people in their 40s and 50s, male or female, are taking better care of themselves. They're working out, and there is this, as I said before, this narcissism of, you know, if you've been working 6 hours a day and you are in this shape, you want to show people. Right? I mean, that's that's sure. part
that's
of the
another part of it too.
Yeah, that's another part of it. And as I said, now with this COVID quarantine, especially celebrities who have a built-in narcissism, that's what they've been thriving on. That's what they got in the business. The opportunities to show off their new bodies, to show off their new toned arms, where they used to do this, you know, on film, in TV shows, in movies, on red carpets, on talk shows. That's gone. Now they're just, if they're on a talk show, they're just a little square on a screen. So they're not able to show whether it's sexual or just, you know, a personal kind of, you know, self-improvement. Look at me. Look what I'm done. I'm still out there and I'm being healthy and I'm working out, which is all great stuff. But all I'm seeing, as I said here, is that if Eva Longoria has to know that if you're showing me your fierce abs in a revealing bikini, I get back to my point, that's great for you. And maybe this is the dividing line where we've gotten back to where we started. And your view is, hey, she feels good about herself. She wants to show this. My point is, that's fine. I have no problem. But you do need to know that you're still sexualizing yourself. Maybe in the female circle, you feel as if it's an empowerment and you go get them and look at you and you're 50 now and you still look as good as you did when you were 25. But if you're going to wear a skimpy bathing suit or you're going to wear your underwear, most men are going to still look at you in a sexual way. And
yes, but what I'm telling you, part of the empowerment is that they don't care.
No, I understand that. That's fine. And maybe that's just, I don't know if I, but I just wonder if I spoke to one of them, if they do think, because the prevalent thing I hear is that, no, I'm not, I'm doing this for myself and I'm doing this to show that I, you know, and that's great. I have no problems with that. Good for you. But you also need to know, maybe, I don't know if in their support system they're also hearing this, that people are still ogling you and looking at you as a sex object.
Well, Jim, it
has not been desexified.
You've interviewed enough celebrities and you know that's kind of a separate issue, but they're surrounded by people who just tell them, you're great. Yeah, they're surrounded by yes people. So, no, I don't think there's anyone in any of, especially like the A-list celebrities, I don't think there's anyone in their world who's trying to say to them like, oh, this.
It just seems to me, I wish there were more stories online, and we'll kind of wrap up with this. If we're talking about true female empowerment, I wish there were more stories about women CEOs, about women engineers, about women politicians that were doing something to change society and to show that they are on equal footing and that they have been oppressed and they have not had the opportunities. And when they're given the opportunities, they are accomplishing as much, if not more, than men have. And to me, that's empowerment. But to see Elizabeth Hurley in a pool in her bathing suit and be at 54 years old and saying, look at me, look at how I'm empowered. I'm going, I am looking at you in that same way I looked at you when you were 25. So how is that empowerment? It seems to me that's counterproductive.
I think that's one thing we can agree on. I think the more really strong, accomplished women we can see highlighted in our world, the better. So I'm totally with you on that.
I understand a woman's sexuality is a part of who she is, right? I mean, that's part of it. That shouldn't be shut off, right? I understand that.
Right.
But it seems to me that by promoting the as I said, every time I go on every day, Halle Berry is showing me your ass. You know, I mean, and today, especially in today's, I mean, talk about, you know, you're talking about, you know, privacy or vanity, whatever you want to call it, or, you know, being embarrassed. I mean, today's bathing suits, I mean, before women wore thongs as underwear, now they're wearing bathing suits that are thongs. I mean, there is really no kind of embarrassment anymore.
Well, I mean, that's just fashion.
I understand that, but once again, if you're going to walk around in a thong on the beach, don't think that you're empowering yourself. Like, look at me. I can wear a thong. That's great. But just know I'm looking at your butt.
Well, but also, quite frankly, like, I'm not saying this is for every woman who wears a thong, but some women who wear a thong, that's the goal, is to get people to look at them.
So, well, good. And I, but
that's,
but,
another, that's just another, you know, it's just another motivation, but it doesn't make it, I'm not passing a judgment on that.
No, but what I'm saying is that I see these sexual pictures that are posted, but then when I read about them in the story that accompanies them, it's, the narrative is about how it's empowering. And I'm saying the only reason I clicked on this story was because there's a butt right there.
Well,
and I'm just being honest.
Well,
so if you think,
I know,
if you think that you're somehow desexualizing yourself by walking out, you know, being 50 in your 50s and showing what a great body you have, or going on the beach and wearing a thong and saying, "Hey, look at me," and just because you look at me that way doesn't affect me. Okay, but just know that that is happening. And I don't think it's helping the cause. I don't know if that's old thinking. That maybe that's why that's why I'm a figment. But I don't know. I mean, I when I see what's going on in Miami right now on spring break and all the chaos there, all the partying, all I have to say is I don't think guys in their 20s are much more woke than I am.
Well, by the way, I thought I saw a number of pictures where there were guys who are not anywhere near in their 20s, and it's like, buddy, you're too old to be.
I understand that, but yeah, but majority of the people there, all I'm saying is, I don't think that just because you're in your 20s or 30s that somehow that those guys are don't think like, oh, well, that's old. Yeah. I hate to tell you, women, but guys are guys and always have been and always will be. And that might sound very antiquated, but I don't see a lot of different behavior of those guys down in Miami than guys from 30 years ago on spring break. What's the difference?
Now, this is why you're all getting your privileges taken away.
Okay. Well, tell me. No, so tell me. That's because I want to hear.
I'm kidding.
Because I just heard you go, so what does that mean?
There's a more very serious issue here, which is that, you know, we finally had a reckoning with men who were, you know, sexually harassing women, sexually assaulting women, and that for years they got away with it, whether it was because of a powerful position they were in their industry, or whether it was because in general in society there has been a hesitation to question survivors of these types of assaults, right? Because it comes down to one person's word against the other oftentimes.
Right.
And there are also a whole lot of other psychological things at play. You know, a lot of stuff goes underreported, or it takes a while to report it because you've been through an assault. So that's not exactly an easy thing to go talk to someone about. So that's an issue where, on a more serious note, as a society, we needed to have a reckoning about that. And it's not okay for it to continue.
Oh, there's no question about that.
And that is why people are fed up with men in a certain demographic at certain levels of power, because that has been what we're seeing more and more, is that was abused way more than we ever even realized.
Oh, there's no question about that.
So there's that. Then there's what you're talking about, which is, you know, like, even if as a society we've evolved, like, men still think in the same way when they see a picture, like, you know, the stuff you're talking about. Okay, so I understand that. Do I think that men in their 20s are any more, I don't know, I guess you would use the term woke, than men 20 or 30 years ago? But yeah, I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. I don't know that many guys in their 20s these days.
Well, and neither do I. But I'm just looking at the behavior that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I'm watching television shows. I'm watching commercials. I'm watching news. And I'm, and this is my point. I, there's no question that the media is shining a spotlight, as I said before, on female empowerment and to your point about, trying to, expose people that, you know, in the culture so others can identify and see themselves in other people, like you were saying before, that you want to see people of your own age group or your own sex or your own.
I think everyone. Yeah, I think everyone.
Yeah, so there's no question that that has become a new focus, and it's probably much overdue. I'm not doubting that. I'm just trying to get down to the nitty gritty of it. Is that I still think I find it ironic that the use of sexuality is being used as this empowerment, as opposed to, as I said before, things like being a leader or being, an accomplished, you know, why does it always come back to sexuality? As much as women seem to want to push that aside and say, well, that's not, I'm just not a sex object. But when they're looking for attention, like you said, they're on Instagram. If they're going to make their brand, they still use that. It's like, well, then, you know.
But also, like, and yeah, but, and also, though, we have to think about, well, we have to think about who we're talking about here, because it's not, Angela Merkel's never going to be on Instagram, like, posing provocatively, okay? So there are a lot of really accomplished women out there who.
Yeah, but I'm seeing Salma Hayek in a, yeah, but I'm seeing Salma Hayek in a bikini every day. I'm seeing Halle Berry in a thong every day.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But Halle Berry and Salma Hayek are Hollywood actresses. You know, they're not heads of state. You know,
yeah, but they're also being used as role models for the revolution. Then my point is, Angela Merkel and Maggie Thatcher, those should be the iconic people that are being used as the figureheads for the movement, for the empowerment. Why is it that Lizzo in her underwear is being shown as an icon for the movement, as opposed to more established people or women in power like Angela Merkel or Kamala Harris or people like that? Why is it still this sexual aspect that is being used as the image, as opposed to the accomplished, educated, powerful, and mover and shaker woman in the society? That's my thing. Is why do you have to keep using the sexuality if you don't want to be viewed as a sex object?
Well, I think that's the media. So the media picks up the stuff that's very sensational, probably more than they do the stuff that's really hard hitting and important. But it also comes down to the individual. Like, I think Halle Berry is great. I think Salma Hayek's great. If you were to ask me who my role models are, I don't think I would name them. You know, like, I probably do skew more toward, you know, if I think about role models in our world today, I think about Michelle Obama, you know, Amanda Gorman very recently, but, you know, after her reading at the inauguration, she's obviously become a lot more well known, and she's got this spotlight on her, and she's becoming, you know, this amazing role model for young women, well, women of any age, actually. And you know, I think those are probably the, as an individual woman, those would be the role model types that I gravitate towards. And I don't have anything against Halle Berry. I don't have anything against Salma Hayek. As you know, I really like Hollywood celebrity type stuff, right?
I have nothing against them either. I just think they're kind of hurting their own cause.
I also think you're spotlighting an issue, which is that the media is more likely to pick up these more sensational examples that they're positioning as female empowerment. But it doesn't mean that all women necessarily look to that kind of celebrity group as their real true role models.
Yeah, well, hopefully not, because like I said, I think that is counterproductive. I have no problem with a woman in their 50s or 60s or whatever saying, hey, you know what, I'm not ready to be put out to pasture in any way, shape, or form, physically or mentally. Yeah. So I have no problems with that.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm looking at it is that I would rather see, or at least see more than, if the sexual aspect is empowering, that's fine. But I'm at least online, I'm not seeing more stories about, as I said before, CEOs or women in powerful positions running companies, or engineers, in engineering or scientists. That is, to me, if you want, if you want to be a role model for a young girl, then I would hope it was in that area, as opposed to, I hope I can be 50 one day and wear a bikini. You know, that right, to me, that's course. Nothing to strive for.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so I don't know. And now maybe at the very least, I will have at least influenced you to go on and look at Paulina Perikova's pictures and Lizzo and some of the other ones, and Elizabeth Hurley, and just so you see what I'm talking about, because as I said, it's not an exaggeration. On a daily basis, there's another 50-year-old woman of prominence in her underwear or in a bikini.
Well, quite frankly, I'm surprised you're not spending more time on Instagram now that you know.
I don't have to.
Now that this has all been revealed to Elton Jim, I can't believe you're not constantly scrolling through.
You know, Instagram. I mean, maybe, like I said, maybe though, maybe soon Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg
Oh, God.
Maybe they will don the Speedo, or they'll don the Jimmy John underwear, you know, the boxer underwear, the tight boxer underwear, you know, that everybody likes.
I don't want to be sexist, but I feel like I have to say we don't need to see that.
Well, I don't think, I mean, hopefully, I don't know if we came to any, definitive answers here, but I think it was
No. But it's good. You got to get people thinking.
Yeah, but I enjoyed the conversation. You did teach me a few things, and I am open-minded, and I am glad that within our, what is it now, about hour and 20-minute conversation, I did get you to wince at least once.
Yeah, at least once. Oh, yeah, more than once. You just, it's only audible.
I need to see you visually to see how many times you were shaking your head. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I only heard one audible wince, but my goal is to at least make people wince at least once. If I don't make somebody wince or go, what? Then I'm not doing my job.
You have to make me wince.
Yeah.
I'm here to help make you think a little more broadly.
Okay, well, very good. Like I said, so I don't know if I came off sounding like a misogynist, sexist pig, or something of an enlightened person, or somewhere in the middle, or someone just grappling with what I'm seeing and trying to make all sense of it. At the very least, I hope that's it. At least I'm acknowledging it. I'm being honest with you as to where I'm coming from. I'm certainly open to explanation and finding out so that I can understand it more. Because like I said, on first blush, I come back to it. Once again, when I see Elizabeth Hurley, I'm not thinking about you go girl. Yeah. I'm thinking about, can you turn a little to the left?
Okay. See, now you're
was that a wince?
Your next audible. Okay. All I can say is I'm only here to help. I'm never here to judge.
Very good. Oh, my God. Thank God. Because if you were here to judge, you would have hung up about 45 minutes ago.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Emily. It was a fun. It's always fun to talk. And I do appreciate the insight and your honesty. And I would encourage you to ask your husband. I would love to hear the feedback if he's going to if he even would comment on it, and I'd be interested to see
if I bring it up. I think he'll spend his entire evening on Google.
Well, so then I'd love to see if he either is trying to appease you and say, oh, that's terrible,
right,
or if you catch him drooling.
Oh, yes, right. happens. We'll see what happens, and I'll report back.
Very good. Thank you so much, Emily. And just so I know for sure, so if I go and Google your name, I won't find any of those pictures?
I mean, if you do, I'd be awfully shocked. So,
well, you know what? I'm going to go now.
I don't think so. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say goodbye to you, but just so you know, once I hang up, I will be Googling your name.
Oh, boy.
And
I think what you'll find is the only thing you'll find on my Facebook and my Instagram are probably just pictures of my kids. So, I'm not really, but I don't post that much, so I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, in fact, one of my complaints to Emily is that even on her Christmas card, she rarely puts a picture of herself. And when she does, it's like a postmark. It's like a postage stamp size picture.
This year, except for this year.
Yeah, this year, I must say, you finally, there was almost, yeah.
Family of four feature.
Yeah, I actually saw you're up to your knees. Your body was at least up to your knees. Usually I see a head peeking over someone's shoulder the size of a postage stamp.
Well, that's what happens when you have cute kids. it's hard enough to pick just one picture for the card, which I don't like to do all these like multiple things. I like to do one main picture on the front of the card. And so it's hard enough to choose just one of them, let alone if you're going to do one of the whole family where someone's not, got their eyes closed or whatever. I don't know. They're cute kids. So people need to see them more than they need to see the grown-ups, I think. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And as I said, I am going to now go back to the internet. I'm going to go Google you, and I'm also going to Google Polina Perikova.
Yeah. Okay.
Take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Mask up, and also make sure you're wearing enough clothes when you go out in public.
Always and always.
Okay. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com, or we are wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. Yes, we are there. And don't forget, spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, send them a link, send them a message. Tell them that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. You've been listening to episode 253. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.